There's no stopping me once I get to go and put a can in my head.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join us for the pregame show. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 1 road matchup against the Bears and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Chasing Big Joe at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We say hello now to Matt Hasselbeck, former Titans, Seahawks quarterback, now the OC at Innsworth High School. And Matt, we'd like to thank your agent, Tim, for setting this up. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Yeah, he's my agent. He's my boss. I mean, he's making up for all those years living as the middle child, three boys in our family. Tim's the middle child. He's always complaining. No one listens to him. Everyone forgets about him. Now he's the boss. He's the head coach. So we're taking orders from Tim.
So how is that? How is that dynamic? I mean, do we need to talk to him? Do we need to settle him down a little bit, or has he been okay?
He's been good. We got into one little argument. My dad is on the staff too. He's helping coach tight ends. So the other coaches were kind of like, we kind of got into it one day over something. It basically, all the other coaches were like, hey, Coach Don, we're going to let you handle this one. And he was like, this is what they were like as kids. You know, they fought all the time, but no, it's been great. Tim's done a great job, and you know, it's a football program, but the way Tim describes it, and I completely agree, is, you know, we really think of it as a character development program disguised as a football team. And it's a lot of fun to win, because I think the kids are more likely to buy into the lessons and the techniques that you're teaching them. But it's not really just all about winning. It's about how you do it, how you practice, and how you maximize the ability that you have.
Very well said. So looking at the NFL this weekend, Will Levis goes into year number two, but his first year as the starter for this Titans team. And what is it that you look for at the quarterback position, having played it for so long, of the biggest thing that you want to see change from year one, the rookie year, the butterflies, all those things, to year two? What are you looking for on Sunday from him?
Yeah, well, I just think you got to look at it in totality. You know, I think there's probably going to be a lot of overreacting early in the year. And, you know, this is like a step in the maturation process for him. But he's got a lot of the things that you can't coach. You know, he's just ridiculously talented physically, mentally. He seems to be all into it. You know, you got to learn as you go, though. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, is that he's going to have the opportunity to be the starter, have the offense tailored to him, and be in some big time games. And the way I describe it to quarterbacks is that there's a lot of guys on this planet that like could make that throw. There's a lot of golfers on this planet that could make that putt. But to be one of the top 10 in the world as a golfer or as a quarterback, you got to make your putts when they're there to be made. You got to make your throws when they're there to be made. You don't get like a do-over at the quarterback position. And I believe that's what has been the difference between the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Aaron Rodgers, is the like those type guys. Like when that one opportunity comes, you make it happen. And it's not that you could make it happen, it's that you do make it happen. And so like, I don't know that we're going to judge him right away on it, but at the end of the year, we'll find out if he's got that kind of cloth, if he's got that kind of like, in the moment of truth, is he the type of guy that is coming through and making those plays for us?
Matt Hasselbeck is with us. So The Athletic asked five NFL executives, their rankings and stuff, and they all ranked the Titans ninth or lower. And there was one guy that said that Levis isn't very good, basically was his, you know, what he was saying. Where does that narrative of Levis not being good come from that guys like an Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young or some of these other younger quarterbacks don't have?
There's a lot of bias out there, you know, especially in the media. Like I just having been in the media for 8 years at ESPN, you know, one of the things that people love to do is have a hot take. You know, they like to have like this, like, oh, I called it. I called like the underdog. I called the Cinderella. I just, you know, you say something not necessarily to enlighten people, but you say something sometimes to enrage people. But then at the same time, I think there's just honest mistakes. Evaluating quarterbacks is hard to do. Nobody gets it right. Tom Brady was picked 199. I'm biased. I played 18 years in the NFL. I was picked 187. You know, I was really upset when Ryan Leaf went number two overall and I didn't get invited to the combine. Like, Brock Purdy isn't somebody that was on anybody's board is like, hey, here's a guy that's going to take his team to the Super Bowl early in his career. It's not a perfect science, and sometimes beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Matt LaFleur saw something in Jordan Love that a lot of other people did not see. And they said, wow, this is the stupidest draft pick ever. I remember when the Titans picked Will Levis. People were going nuts. Like, what? Will Levis? What's this about? I think people now have seen what the Titans saw at the time, the potential that is there in this young quarterback. So I want to get too caught up in what people are writing. I think it's like a wait and see kind of thing. And, you know, I trust guys like Brian Callahan. I trust guys like Matt LaFleur. But like I said, as a quarterback, you got to make your putts when they're there to be made.
He is Matt Hasselbeck. He's the offensive coordinator and chief bottle washer at Innsworth High School, joining us on the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, Matt, Chase has all the good questions. I have all the ones that are like, huh? I saw you went to high school with Boston Rob.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Boston. The term there in Boston is math hole. It's kind of like the, you know, it's just kind of what we – and Boston Rob was like – one of our proudest guys from our, you know, of Survivor fame.
Yes.
There's a few guys from our, you know, New Kids on the Block went to the rival high school. You know, if anybody's my age, you know who that is. They're like,
yes.
They're like the One Direction before there was a One Direction. But we're kind of proud of where we grew up and we're kind of ashamed of it all in once. It's kind of a weird thing.
I love it. A friend of mine texted me a question, says, you have to ask Matt Hasselbeck his thoughts. When he handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch on that long run, what were you thinking the entire time Marshawn's running down the field?
Yeah, we called this play 17. We basically called it 17 power. So power is a play that a lot of people run. We weren't running power that year. We were running inside and outside zone mostly. We were like that Alex Gibbs, Mike Shanahan zone scheme.
Yeah.
We traded for Marshawn Lynch, and he was begging for power. He about took my hand off when I handed that ball off to him. And it just felt like something crazy is about to happen. Now, here's the funny thing. We blocked power completely wrong. But because we were all wrong together, we were right. And then Marshawn had, in my opinion, the greatest run in NFL history. And I was fired up to be on the field for it. Almost got a block in the back penalty, but luckily I was too slow to get there. But it was an incredible moment in NFL history.
My friend says he was there and says that was the loudest stadium he'd ever heard in his entire life.
Well, they call it the Beastquake game because when Marshawn Lynch scored, the fans at the stadium there in Seattle were jumping up and down so much that it actually caused a seismic earthquake. It caused an earthquake right there at that moment. Like, you can see it. Like, scientists are like, wait, what did this? What happened here? That having no idea that a Seahawks game and the NFL's greatest run of all time happened, but literally an earthquake happened right at that moment, right as he, you know, probably broke his fourth tackle and crossed the end zone. It was pretty cool.
We're talking to Matt Hasselbeck here on the Chase and Big Joe show. You know, as we see all these quarterbacks coming to the league, Caleb Williams making his first start is the number one overall pick against the Titans on Sunday. He's been handed the keys to the car. You know, we've mentioned Bryce Young. Now Will Levis is a second-round pick. He took over halfway through the year. Gone are the days of the guy sitting and learning. You know, we saw it with Aaron. We saw it with you. You got to back up Brett for a few years and then go to Seattle and did your thing. Do you feel like that it's a disservice to these quarterbacks to not have that time to sit and learn, or because of the contracts, because of the money, they just have no choice but to throw them in?
It's a sort of depends on the situation for me, but like it all changed with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco taking their teams to the playoffs early in their career. And then it really kind of changed. And then you saw some guys like Andrew Luck or even Andy Dalton, or, you know, there were guys around the league that were Josh Freeman having success. And then, like, when I was with the Titans, I remember the second year they made Jake Locker the starting quarterback his second year. And when Mike Munchak called me into the office and he gave me the reason, like, it was almost like he was apologizing, but he was like, well, you know, there's a lot of young quarterbacks around the league who are doing really well. So, like, we just feel like, you know, he should be out there too. It's like, you know, and I strongly disagreed with the decision then, and I strongly disagree with it now. I don't think you're helping out a guy when you're comparing him to other guys around the league, because the team around you is very, very different in all these situations. So, but yeah, listen, when a guy like Andrew Luck has success, or a guy like Andy Dalton or Josh Freeman has success, it's going to put more pressure on other guys. That's why I look around, I see, like, let's just say Bo Nix as an example, or Jaden Daniels, like if those, or Caleb, if those guys have success, there's going to be a lot more pressure in New England to play Drake May over Jacoby Brissett. And it's the teams that hold firm to their real philosophy and hold the line when the pressure on the outside, on the radio and, you know, on Twitter and all that stuff, it's those are the teams you'll see who's got, like, the fortitude to do it. Like Andy Reid did it with Patrick Mahomes. There was a lot of pressure to play Patrick Mahomes over Alex Smith that first year. And Andy said, no, we're going to stick to the plan. And Mahomes didn't start till his second year. So, yeah, that's a real thing. I'm in favor of playing a young quarterback as soon as he's able to handle NFL blitzes on third down. I think that's the hardest thing. And you know, I guess that's what we'll get to see happen here starting this week.
We're talking to Matt Hasselbeck on the Chasing Big Joe Show. All right, Matt, if you could talk to Caleb Williams before his start on Sunday and give him one word of advice, what one word would you tell Caleb Williams?
Third down, man. Third down. That's the hardest thing for a young quarterback. You know, Denard Wilson's going to have every exotic blitz he can think of. He's hit him. He hasn't shown him in the preseason. He probably hasn't shown him in joint practices. He's saving him for you. So I would say 95% of your time that you need to be spending going into this game is understanding your third down pass protections and protecting the team, protecting yourself, because really that's the hardest thing for a young quarterback. And in every locker room I was ever in, they would say to the quarterback, hey, QBs, you make your money on third down. That's the hardest down. That's why we pay you the big bucks. Third down in red zone, and I'll just tell you from experience, third down is much harder.
My final question for you, has your boss yelled at you during a game yet for a call you've made?
No, but you know what? We're having some headset issues. Like, our headset didn't work again for the first quarter of this game. And so, like, we're kind of both yelling, like, not at each other necessarily, but, like just some Bush League stuff. Like, we started out the game against NBA. First play of the game, we have 12 people on the field. Like, first play. And then, like, second or third play, I called, like, wristband 62, but he's getting, like, every other word. So he heard wristband 2. So we literally had a wide receiver playing fullback in the I position because we can't get our communication right. So, like, oh, my gosh. I felt like Mike Holmgren yelling at Andy Reid. But, like, we weren't really yelling at each other. We're just sort of frustrated by the technology that we're not, you know, we gotta troubleshoot that a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. As before we let you go, how rewarding is this for you, though, in all seriousness? You're getting to work with your brother, you're getting to work with your dad, but also kind of paying it forward, mentoring these kids and coaching them in the most important years of their life.
It's been awesome. 2 years ago, ESPN laid me off. I was kind of devastated, but it gave me the opportunity to coach my son at my high school in Boston. And it was an incredible experience. I had so much fun. You know, they did for me what I would not have had the courage to do, is kind of quit a dream job to spend more time with my son. And it was such a blessing. We ended up winning the state championship. My son was Gatorade Player of the Year. He's now playing football at UCLA. I really don't think any of that would have happened had I not taken the time away from, like I said, a dream job to kind of invest in him. And it was so much fun. I'm so excited to do it here in Nashville. Ironically, Tim's son, my nephew, is our quarterback now. And it's a ton of fun. So it's truly a blessing, and it's just awesome. I can't say enough. It's fun to be back in Nashville for our third time now, but it's such a blast.
Well, we're so glad we got to have you do this today. Tim is one of our favorites. He's been with us since the beginning of this radio station, and so love to have you here as well. And good luck tomorrow with the Innsworth Tigers. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We're playing a team from Arkansas. I don't know too much about them, but their stadium's named after Maurice Carthon, Rand's dad. So like they might be pretty good. So we're sweating this one out a little bit. We'll see.
Awesome. Well, that'll be very, very cool. Matt, thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
See you guys.
Matt Hasselbeck, former Titans quarterback, of course, Seahawks, and now with Innsworth High School. And, you know, Tim is a staple on the station that you can hear on the Midday Show every week. But really appreciate Matthew for joining us. We'll come back, tell you what day it is, and celebrity birthdays here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.